Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on this Friday, June 9th, 2023. Disgusted at myself over the fact that I miswrote my own date, 2013. This is 2023. But at any rate, you're listening to the Dankoff Report live on RBN. And we have a number of things to cover, so let's get going. RFK Jr. and the Rabbi Shmuley Boteach Zio Circus. What does this mean? Everyone needs to take a look at a JewishJournal.com article, which we have posted for you in the roadmap, that deals with RFK Jr. and what would appear to be major overtures on his behalf to make sure that he and his presidential candidacy in the Democratic Party are thoroughly acceptable to the Zionist lobby in the United States and globally. It is very interesting, of course, that RFK Jr. has been saying a lot of good things about the Russian-Ukrainian war and about the responsibility of the United States in this matter. He, however, is wrong when he says that Vladimir Putin should not have invaded Donbass. Ray McGovern makes it very clear, among others, that Mr. Putin had no alternative but to do what he did for all the reasons that we've covered before on this broadcast. So RFK Jr. is wrong on that particular point, in my opinion. Nonetheless, he said a lot of good things about the Russian-Ukrainian war. He said a lot of good things about the jab and this whole business of the police state that is involved in imposing the jab upon millions of unsuspecting and unwilling people. So he's right about an awful lot of things, in my view, including the vaccines. I like the various things that he's been doing at the Children's Defense Network. But nonetheless, this is something that need not be ignored by people who might consider voting for him in a Democratic primary or certainly in a general election. If you are a Democrat, I would very definitely urge you to vote for RFK Jr. against Joe Biden. I would urge you to vote for the county dog catcher over Joe Biden. Nonetheless, RFK, in many respects, is saying good things. But this is an ominous, ominous sign that not all is well with his candidacy in terms of the types of deals that he's trying to make. I said something in the Russian V Kontakte that is up there on the roadmap that's very definitely available for all of our RBN listeners. RFK has been citing the central role of the Central Intelligence Agency in the assassination of his uncle, the 35th President of the United States, in Dealey Plaza in Dallas on November the 22nd, 1963. He obviously has been including the CIA as having been responsible for the assassination of his father in the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles on June the 5th, 1968. But who was really behind that assassination? Yes, there was an element of the CIA involved. Yes, there was an element of the anti-Castro Cuban exilic community that was involved in these killings, in my view. But the ultimate power behind these, if you believe Michael Collins Piper in his book Final Judgment, if you look at the more recent work of Laurent Guyonneau, which of course cites Piper, Israel was ultimately behind that assassination of the President of the United States in 1963, RFK Jr.'s uncle, and certainly RFK's father on June the 5th, 1968, in the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. So take a look at these Guyonneau articles, RFK's false flag assassination. We have that one posted for you. Laurent Guyonneau's interview with the Tehran Times a year or two ago on this whole business of Israel and both of the Kennedy assassinations, one that you really need to read because it is so revealing about so many other things related to who and what was really behind the killings of both of the Kennedy brothers, is Jack Ruby as Israel's smoking gun. That is a Laurent Guyonneau story, of course, and you can find that one at the UNS Review, and it's available for you in the roadmap that we'll publish with this broadcast. And last but not least, once again, we have published, and thanks to Ron UNS, this is available for you at UNS.com. If you don't have a physical copy of Michael Collins Piper's seminal work, Final Judgment, you can get the entire transcript from this link that we are providing you today from the UNS Review, courtesy of both the UNS Review and the Republic Broadcasting Network. Avail yourself of these stories. I have suggested, without the least disrespect intended toward RFK Jr., that he might want to do some reading before he jumps in with the Israeli lobby so enthusiastically. They, in my view, were the real source of what happened to both his uncle and his father. Culture Wars. RT reports that Tucker Carlson is slamming the United States government over the pedophile network scandal that involves, of course, the rather ugly folks, in my view, at Instagram. It's shocking, says Carlson, that authorities did nothing in response to an expose by the Wall Street Journal. No question he's right. The question is why there was nothing done. Why has there really been nothing done about the whole business of the Epstein-Maxwell debacle and the sex trafficking ring and all of the people in high places in various governments around the world, including the American government, that were in on that ugly situation? It's pretty obvious, isn't it, what that sex ring was all about? It was a Mossad operation from start to finish. Everything points in that direction. And clearly this is a situation where we might begin to suspect that maybe, just maybe, the authorities' lack of response to this Wall Street Journal expose on the fact that this was being tolerated by Instagram, hosting a vast network of pedophilia accounts. This tells us how late the hour is in terms of any integrity that is left in the American government, which I believe is just about down to zero. And the other thing that Tucker Carlson says is that the taboo surrounding child molestation in American society is about to crumble. It's in the process of crumbling. And at this particular point of view, we need to ask ourselves, what are the people of the United States doing about it? I know one group of people is doing something about it. These are Armenian Christians out there in the Los Angeles area. I am acquainted with some of these people through my past radio work with the Armenian-owned International Christian Family Network back in the days when I used to do these broadcasts occasionally with the great Bedros Hajin out there in L.A. Nonetheless, I find myself wondering if some of these people weren't at this school board meeting that has been reported on by RT as well as others. Parents brawl with pro-gay activists at a school board meeting, says RT. There is a video provided with this particular link. A California school district has been accused of indoctrinating children with LGBTQ ideology. They've not simply been accused of it, folks. That's exactly what they're doing. To quote RT here, a school board meeting in Glendale, California, descended into violence on Tuesday as furious parents fought with Antifa demonstrators while the board voted to recognize Pride Month. The parents, many of them from Armenian/Christian backgrounds, have demanded that schools stop exposing their children to LGBTQ ideology, unquote. It's nice to see that there are a few responsible parents left out there, including some responsible men and fathers and husbands who have had enough of this nonsense. Nonetheless, it is ominous to me that it takes some Armenian immigrants of strong Christian backgrounds to stand up in the United States for what used to be a standard stand-up operation in this country. I go back to when I was growing up in schools. I go back to my parents' generation. Anyone involved in this kind of proselytizing, utilizing the public school system to do it, of LGBTQ perversion would have been strung up from the highest tree. So we take our hats off today as we discuss the absolutely sewer-like character of American culture, which is no legitimate culture at all anymore, that it takes some Armenian Christians, most of them immigrants to the United States in Southern California, to demand that the school board simply recognize human decency and get back to educating kids in the basics of English, the basics of foreign languages, the basics of science, the basis of mathematics, and so forth and so on, and stay out of the business of trying to socialize children for LGBTQ and culturally Marxist perversion. End of lecture. Another culture war story here. E. Michael Jones for the Unce Review. The hidden grammar of the L.A. Dodgers' Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence controversy. If you have not been following that, of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team out in Los Angeles invited an LGBTQ drag queen group, clearly designed to mock the Roman Catholic Church and Roman Catholic believers known as the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. This particular situation, E. Michael Jones tells us that he first saw this group up close during Pope John Paul II's visit to San Francisco on September the 18th, 1897. Their disgusting, blasphemous parody of the sacred mysteries of the Catholic Church, says Dr. Jones, has only grown more overt and more vicious, and the more offensive they became and become, the more they become cultural icons in a society controlled by people who consider abortion, sodomy, and blasphemy fundamental Jewish values, unquote. Take a look at that story. Ron Kempias for the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. Biden plans to combat anti-Semitism. He demands reforms across the executive branch and beyond. Take a look at that piece of propaganda, if you will. Ali Abu Nima for Electronic Intifada tells us that Biden launches a new plan to censor criticism of Israel. Quote, the initiative spearheaded by Douglas Emhoff, the Jewish husband of Vice President Kamala Harris, received a warm welcome from Israel lobbyists who helped to shape it and who will play a key role in implementing it. That's not surprising, says Mr. Abu Nima for the Electronic Intifada, since what it amounts to is a high-level attempt by Joe Biden to further ostracize and censor support for Palestinian rights and criticism of Israel's increasingly fanatical regime of ethno-religious supremacy, occupation, and apartheid, all underpinned by the brutal settler colonization of Palestinian land. What is more surprising, he says, is that the plan has also been endorsed by CARE, a prominent Muslim group that purports to support advocacy for Palestinian rights. What is going on there? Let's try to unpack that by taking a look at that article. Let's move on to something equally sick and depressing, the Russian-Ukrainian war. You know, today when I was walking my German Shepherd, I was taking a look at my neighbor's Wall Street Journal, the front page. Zelensky turns up after all of his recent absences from his own country, what purports to be his own country, his own capital. He's been showing up in virtually every place else other than Kiev and other points in Ukraine. We talked about this in the last week or two. Oh, he's been in Rome to court the Pope. He's been in Berlin. He showed up in London. He has shown up in the G7 summit in Hiroshima. He's been in all of these other locations, but all of a sudden, the Wall Street Journal has a front page photograph of this guy surveying the damage from the Kharkovka Dam, River Dam, hydroelectric dam explosions. Folks, if you get into any kinds of legitimate sources on what really happened there, this is a Ukrainian operation from start to finish. Mainstream media and the American administration are trying to pretend that, of course, this could have gone either way in terms of who is responsible. That's absolute nonsense. Take a look at good sources, many of which we provide for you, at least on this show with the Republic Broadcasting Network, and you will see quite clearly that there is an entire paper trail of evidence on this in terms of past Ukrainian strikes on that hydroelectric dam that have been reported by American mainstream media in the past, including the Washington Post, which is now very silent about their own past published stories, which indicated that the destruction of that dam was a major part of the Ukrainian military operation against Putin's Russia. There's only one problem, of course, and that is that this particular act is yet another war crime. This type of activity involving the bombing of a hydroelectric dam, bombing a nuclear power plant, just to name two, are acts of war that are deemed illegitimate by treaty where the international community is concerned, even if someone benefits militarily by doing it. In this particular case, the same people that brought you the Nord Stream pipeline terror, the same people that brought you the heinous character of the Darya Dugina assassination in Moscow last August 20th, the same people who used an innocent civilian in a civilian truck to engage in a bombing of the Kerch Bridge months ago. And the list goes on and on of the various acts of terror that can all be attributed to Mr. Zelensky and his thugs at his SBU, not to mention their real backers, which includes the Zionist lobby worldwide, especially as the global Zio lobby is concerned when it comes to the Biden administration, to all of the thugs in the EU governments and in the UK. And suffice it to say that after the fraud of the Minsk negotiations, entirely a Western fraud, now admitted by the ex-German Premier Angela Merkel, admitted by Poroshenko, the former Ukrainian president, that last March, a year ago last March, we might be reminded that the Russians and the Ukrainians came to a tentative deal that would have settled this entire controversy in Istanbul. Boris Johnson, with prodding from Joe Biden, it is a matter of public record that he told Zelensky to kill any cooperation with the Russians, that in fact the EU and the British and especially the United States would militarize the Zelensky regime to continue a protracted surrogate war being waged by NATO and being waged by the globalist West and by Globo Homo against Putin's Russia. There you have it, folks. That's really behind this whole thing as it pertains to the Russian-Ukrainian war. And, of course, what has been portrayed on the front page of the Wall Street Journal today has finally enabled us to see that Zelensky has shown up in what is allegedly his own country for at least 5 minutes to survey his own handiwork in this latest criminal act that his bums have been involved in with his authorization. But nonetheless, the Russian-Ukrainian war in terms of who's right and who's wrong has been totally misspun, totally warped in terms of optics by American mainstream media and Western mainstream media for obvious reasons. And the whole question of what is going on in this war involves an optical spin on how well the Ukrainians are doing in their so-called counteroffensive against Russia in the Zaporozhye region in particular, that mainstream media is trying to say shows a lot of great hope, when in fact what it does reveal is that the Ukrainians are getting stomped, incredible losses of human life on the Ukrainian side in this whole situation, not to mention what is happening to all of much of their armor coming to them from the West in terms of tanks, armor coming to them in terms of infantry fighting vehicles, both older ones as well as state-of-the-art ones that have come to them in more recent times. You start looking at their losses on all of this, as well as the overwhelming Russian supremacy as it pertains both to artillery and artillery ammunition, 155-millimeter ammunition, and the whole discrepancy between Russian productive capability and the capability of the collective West in manufacturing all of these different things, including the ammo. And then there's the whole issue of Russian air supremacy, which is virtually total, and the breakdown to about zero in Ukrainian air defenses. There is no responsible person that can believe that Ukraine is going to prevail in this counteroffensive, which leads us to what we'll cover after the break, which is what the West might be prepared to do in upping the ante. If we are ready for that first break, you have been listening to Mark Dankoff and the Dankoff Report on this June 9th, 2023 for the Republic Broadcasting Network.
With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Listening to the Dan Koff Report live on RBN on Friday, June 9th, 2023. Kicking off, of course, at 2 p.m. Central Time. In terms of what we have already covered, if you're joining us at a later point in the stream, you can, by the way, obviously listen to this show in its entirety after the live broadcast via the what will be posted in the archives, along with a roadmap of stories that I like to provide for my listeners. I always like to think of my listeners as a reading, even more so than a listening constituency. We have covered the RFK Jr. story with the Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, Zio Circus, as I term it. This whole business of the Jewish Journal, which basically underscores in a positive vein what is clearly a major overture of RFK Jr. to the Zionist lobby in regard to the acceptability of his candidacy challenging Joe Biden in 2023 and obviously leading into 2024 in regard to the Democratic primaries. I've suggested, of course, in terms of culture wars, a series of things that we've already looked at, complete with links. Be sure to read those at your leisure. In terms of the Russian-Ukrainian war, I know that we have a caller, so I'm going to whip through these and you can read them later. Gordon Hahn parsing Putin's Victory Day 2023 speech. Larry Johnson on the latest going on with the counteroffensive on the part of Ukraine. That's a great piece by this great ex-CIA analyst at sonar21.com entitled Vladimir Putin Does Love Tanks. Our own RBN, with my contribution, has a story entitled Zelensky's Ukraine Forces Getting Bashed at the Start of Pride Month. Take a look at that one. Alexander Mercuris's analysis of this at the Durand from yesterday. I've put that one up. I'll put his latest one up at some future point on this particular roadmap so you can be exposed to all of the things that both he and his partner, Alex Christoforou, talk about that are never covered in mainstream media in the United States and in Europe for very obvious reasons. In terms of all of the other sources you need to consult, South Front. Russian Ministry of Defense details recent Ukrainian losses. There are videos connected with that link. Moscow's Russian Ministry of Defense is saying that Kiev lost 1,000 troops and dozens of tanks in one day. Take a look at that story, see what you think. South Front is reporting a mass slaughter of Leopard 2 tanks and Bradley infantry fighting vehicles in the Zaporozhye region. That comes complete with videos, by the way. South Front also talks about Vladimir Putin's comments this morning on the situation on the front line amid the ongoing advance of Kiev's forces. I don't even think that they have reached the point of Russia's fortifications along the defense line, at least as of 24 hours they hadn't. Nonetheless, the losses they've been sustaining have been absolutely breathtaking, whether you accept the Russian figures at face value or take a look at some other sources, which certainly corroborate the fact that Ukraine is definitely taking a terrible beating in this whole thing. Sputnik reports, of course, that Mr. Putin has said as of this morning that the Ukrainian counteroffensive has begun. A very important piece with an excerpt from that piece that I put up for you, Alexander Dugin, Ukraine as a Field of Armageddon. Geopolitico published this under the title The Last Russian Battle, Six Main Positions. The title that I read out for you is one that was published by the people at Catahone.com and also at ThePostal.com. Take a look at the things that Mr. Dugin has to say there. There are 6 points that he uses to analyze his own feelings about what this battle truly means as a great turning point in history. And the very last of these, he says, points 5 and 6, the culmination of world history. And finally, he says, religious eschatology describing the last times, quote unquote, and their inherent conflicts. Confrontations and disasters, as well as the phenomenology of the coming of the Antichrist, unquote. I'm sure the eschatology that he is referring to is not the eschatology of our late friend Pat Robertson of the Christian Broadcasting Network, who passed in the last day. Just throw in the acknowledgement that Pat Robertson is no longer with us. Declan Hayes for Strategic Culture Foundation. Biden's Crack Chronicles kick off NATO's Trans Pride summer offensive. That is a must read. Serbia and the Balkans, we've got something for you from the Duran there. I'm not very good with these Slavic names, so I apologize to this brilliant author if I botch this. Dr. Vladislav B. Soterovic, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, but that story on Serbia and the Balkans is well worth your time. What's going on in Germany? Take a look at the latest demographics from Europe Elects, which is a reputable EU mainstream website that nonetheless reports that the right-wing alternative for Deutschland has clinged to a new record high of 20% in the latest YouGov poll. If repeated in a general election, it would be the best result in the party's history. Keep an eye on the rest of Europe in this regard. Sounds like there are some nationalists that are beginning to be fed up in Europe in regard to what's happening with this Russian-Ukrainian war and LGBTQ and all the rest of it. I'll try to quick rip through these other stories, and then we'll take some callers after the break. You are listening to the Dan Koff Report live, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this June 9th, Friday, 2023. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Listening to the Dan Koff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network, coming to you live on this June the 9th, 2023, Friday afternoon in San Antonio, Texas. I know we have at least three callers lined up. Let me quick whip through the rest of these stories. By the way, a foreign news agency just contacted me with the breaking story that Boris Johnson has resigned as a member of parliament in the UK because of the Partygate scandal. Have you ever noticed when some of these people take a nosedive like Johnson, they don't go after him for all of his war crimes. They don't go after him for all of the criminal things that he has been a direct party to in regard to the extenuated character of this Russian-Ukrainian war that could have been solved about 14 months ago. They decided to dump him, at least for the time being, as a member of parliament over Partygate. Some other stories very quickly. Iran, take a look at this one. Press Television: why is Iran's Fatah hypersonic missile a giant leap forward? Yes, the Iranians have a hypersonic missile, folks. It apparently travels at something like a 14 Mach in speed, if I'm remembering correctly. I think it has a range of about 1,500 kilometers. Take a look at that story. That is a game changer, in my view, in terms of this whole issue with the Russian-Ukrainian war and the relationship that Iran has developed with both Russia and China, not to mention this whole situation in the Middle East as it pertains to Israel and as it pertains to what is going on with Hezbollah in Lebanon. Stephen Lindman tribute. Many of you know Steve or remember him from his work here at the Republic Broadcasting Network. There is a tribute to him that is posted on our own RBN website. There is a link where you can add your name to legacy.com. If you have any memories of Steve or anything that you think is appropriate, certainly post it there. It'll be reviewed to make sure it's appropriate. And then, assuming there are no red lights there, your remembrances of him will appear on Legacy. USS Liberty, folks, yesterday is the 56th anniversary of Israel's criminal attack on the USS Liberty 2 days into the Six-Day War. I'll have some posts on that. We all know that story pretty well. I will have some links up there on this roadmap at some point in the next 24 hours to get to some of the best things that have been written on that subject in more recent times. Politics, you're all aware of these charges against Donald Trump, allegedly mishandling classified information, and this whole business being pursued now under so-called Espionage Act laws. Kyrus and Christoforo with the Duran have a video on this that you need to see. It's entitled Using Lawfare to Knock Trump Out of the 2024 Race. Isn't it interesting that the criminal relationship of Hunter Biden and his father, the current president of the United States, and the Burisma scandal in covering up their activities, criminal activities in the Ukraine, and covering up criminal activities in trade deals with the Chinese, that's apparently all out of bounds in terms of the current Attorney General of the United States, who was a part of the global homo movement, of course. But it's most disturbing when you see the Federal Bureau of Investigation involved in a witch hunt involving Donald Trump and all these criminal charges that are quite credible as it pertains to Mr. Biden and to his son, Hunter Biden, get the same convenient pass. Other political stories, David Stockman for Lou Rockwell, Speaker McCarthy's rotten deal. I think Congressman Chip Roy here in San Antonio has spoken correctly about this one. Yes, read the Stockman story, but Chip basically tells us that the debt ceiling was extended by another $4 trillion. No appreciable, legitimate, significant cuts in spending. Therefore, Congressman Roy, I think, has the correct take on this when he characterizes this so-called deal between McCarthy and the Democrats as a turd sandwich. Aaron Matei for Lou Rockwell has one out there. The FBI helps Ukraine censor Twitter users and obtain their information, including information, it's very significant personal information on journalists. This is a cooperative effort between the FBI and Mr. Zelensky's SBU. You think we live in a free country? Think again after you read that story. Paul Craig Roberts for Lou Rockwell. The Department of Homeland Security is a threat to the homeland. Matthew Irritt has one for us today. The British intelligence hand behind the National Endowment for Democracy and Modern Color Revolutions. And then finally, history. I'm going to say this much about this, and we're going to take some callers. In our history category, Mark Weber of the Institute for Historical Review has a piece called Collusion. Franklin Roosevelt, British intelligence, and the secret campaign to push the United States into war. It's not only excellent history, you might as well be reading something that is quite current in regard to what is going on with Biden and his neocons, his Zionist neocons, and this whole business of the Russian-Ukrainian war. It's the same operation, just change the players, change the names around. But the stakes are even higher now in this nuclear age. You must read that story by Mark Weber. At the same time, I was looking at a David Irving lecture from 2005 provided to me by the Institute for Historical Review. Mr. Irving recommended a book 18 years ago. I'm just now discovering this. I'm going to get a copy. He has never read Mein Kampf, interestingly enough, at least as of 2005, but he recommends this book, Hitler's Second Book, the unpublished sequel to Mein Kampf. That's, of course, the table talk of Adolf Hitler. The editor is Gerhard L. Weinberg, or Weinberg. He's the editor. Nonetheless, David Irving recommends this book and commends this gentleman as an editor. I posted, along with that book recommendation coming to us from David Irving, a C-SPAN appearance by Gerhard L. Weinberg on November the 11th, 2003, and you can watch a video of his discussion of this book and the incredible historical significance of this book. Well, let's get into some callers. I apologize for the length of the news summary, but we had an awful lot of stuff to cover. I'm going to have some ongoing news links to buttress what I've already posted for you. And who is our first caller as I look at my technician's board?
I believe I heard the static. Charlie in Florida.
Hey, go ahead, Charlie. Good to be on with me.
Hey, it's been a long time since I've called, but I wanted to just comment a little bit about this Kennedy taking this Jewish money. I mean, it's the same thing that this idiot DeSantis down here in Florida. I live in Florida, and this guy, believe me, he's doing the same crap. Exactly. So basically what we're going to get is Jewish-controlled candidates, you know, on both sides there. I mean, I really believe that, except for the political machine behind Biden, I think this guy, this Democrat, could take him. But I don't like the guy because he's a nutcase. This Kennedy believes in global warming. And I think he, I'm not sure, but I believe, trying to find out what his stand on abortion is, but I believe he's pro-life, too. Okay, but I haven't been able to find much information on that. I've looked a lot, and just nothing comes up when I search the Internet. Of course, they try to keep that stuff out of the Internet now. You can't find stuff like you used to be able to.
I keep watching, Charlie, for information on that through LifeSite News, which is a Roman Catholic site. I am not a Roman Catholic, by the way, but it's an excellent site, and it covers things like that. I think you're touching upon a couple of very significant things. If Mr. Kennedy is as opposed to what the United States is doing in this Russian-Ukrainian conflict, as he claims to be, he certainly is making public overtures to all of the wrong people in terms of this Zionist lobby. And I thought of DeSantis, too, Charlie, at the same time that you in Florida are seeing that firsthand. I was sickened, frankly, by the sort of thing that I was seeing out of Mr. Kennedy in terms of what the Jewish Journal published this last week. The other thing you're touching on that I think is absolutely significant, where is Kennedy on these social issues? Now, we seem to have a pretty good handle on where he is on the vaccine issue. That's all well and good. But in terms of the culturally Marxist character of the Republican Party, increasingly the Republican Party too, but zeroing in on the Democratic Party here for a minute, the Democratic Party has been absolutely hijacked by cultural Marxism on the abortion issue and on LGBTQ, with all that entails. What does Mr. Kennedy believe? He's at variance with his own party, apparently, on the vaccine issue and the vaccine issue for children and the whole issue of coercive vaccines being performed on people. He said a lot of good things about Big Pharma, but on these cultural issues, which includes the Second Amendment, on the whole issue of the constitutional rights of gun owners, what does Mr. Kennedy believe on those subjects? And I'm a little queasy, very queasy about his situation after what appeared in the Jewish Journalist last week. I noticed a lot of people in European social media who were quite encouraged by his candidacy are particularly non-committal at this point. They're very concerned for the same reasons that you and I are. So I guess where we are on this, we need to press for the answers on this because I think there were some of us who were at least toying with the idea maybe that we could sneak over and vote for Kennedy in the Democratic primary against Biden if there were sufficient warrant for doing that. I am far less sanguine on that prospect after what we saw in the last week in terms of his front and center public appearances with this Rabbi Boteach that were reported in the Jewish Journal, not simply on the issue of global homo, obviously, that's a very, very significant issue, not simply in the Russian-Ukrainian war, but clearly on this Palestinian issue. Kennedy would seem to be positioning himself in a circumstance where he's taking the old Democratic line since the late 1940s on supporting Israel at all costs. And then, of course, we get back to these fundamental issues on what he really believes on these social issues. So that's kind of where we are in this, and we all just take a deep breath. But I am not happy with what I saw. I'll be the first to say it.
Yeah, I'm not either. And I'll be honest with you. I liked Kennedy when he first came out.
And then I did,
when
too.
He said, then when he started talking, calling Trump a bully and all this kind of stuff, I said, no, this guy, he might have been a good vice president pick for Trump. But after he started calling Trump names and everything like that, I started saying, this guy's out to lunch. And now the only thing I'll say about this money grabbing Jews from the Jews is that Trump doesn't do it. Okay, Trump funds his own campaign, and he's funded by volunteers, by people that send him money. So he's not answering to any of them, and that's why they hate him. That's why they want to get rid of him. That's why they're still trying to get rid of him for the upcoming election. Now, I don't like everything Trump's done, especially in the vaccine department, but he was the best thing we ever had as far as getting us back to work in this country. The only reason our economy is still strong right now is because of Trump. It wasn't a damn thing to do with Biden. You know, Biden didn't do it. He would have wrecked this economy by now if it was up to him. By the way, I'll say a couple of more things and I'll let you go. I know you got other callers. I wanted to add about this damn explosion over there. I've got a little different take on it. George Soros, back a while back when they had the first Ukrainian offensive, when they were trying to go down there and take that land bridge down there and that bridge, and they were attacking that, Soros said that he was for the Ukrainian advancement, and he demanded, he said, we got to get rid of Russia and China and take them over, and this war could lead to a world war. But he said the reason why we got to stop it down there is because that's their link to getting fresh water into Crimea. Okay?
That's now, part of the reason, yes.
Yeah. Well, this dam that exploded now, that's going to keep water, fresh water, from getting down to those croplands down there, okay? And we also know that there was a recent hit on the ammonia pipeline, right?
Yes, exactly.
And it looks like, to me, what we're seeing is a Soros-backed war on the croplands down there that's going to affect maybe the coming crops and the,
exactly,
the economics in that area down there severely. Now, the last thing I want to say about any of this is that, you know, that idiot Zelensky sent these people in a minefield on this latest incursion, this latest Ukrainian advancement. They went in on a minefield. No wonder they lost so many damn people and tanks. What kind of idiot sends people into a minefield without going in and getting rid of the mines first?
Exactly. Because
he's trying to, I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's replacement. He's replacing the people, the natural Catholic, Ukrainian, Slavic people with Khazarian Jews. I think that's actually what his goal is down there. All right.
And I think that's the goal of the people backing him, Charlie. I totally agree with you. Hey, listen, thanks for calling, buddy.
You're welcome, bud. Thanks a lot.
God bless. Bye-bye. Folks, we have another caller, if he's still there. Actually, I've got three of them I'm going to try and squeeze in here. James in Vancouver, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am. You mentioned Boris Johnson, and I wanted to ask you, did you know that he was born in Manhattan?
Did not know that.
Well, you see, not only can he be a member of MI6, he can also be a member of the CIA now, you see.
Well, I don't think there is much doubt that he is a good deep state man, undoubtedly with connections both to the British MI6 as well as very friendly relationships with the American CIA. And I would suspect probably the Israeli Mossad, although that's a guess on my part.
You have to be an American to be in the CIA. Also, to be working for the RAND Corporation, you have to be an American as well, you see. And exactly, Winston Churchill was also born in the United States. But I was going to ask you, do you think Israel did the November 22nd, 1963 assassination?
Yes. I agree with Michael Collins Piper on this, and I agree with Laurent Guyanot on this. I've read thousands and thousands of pages on this subject of the Kennedy assassination over many years from all of the people who've done the best academic work. But for me, Piper and then subsequently Laurent Guyanot tied up some loose ends for me that do not contradict some of the best research prior to their research, but it simply explains one or two things, chiefly Meyer Lansky, the Israeli crime syndicate, who was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's chief representative on behalf of the Office of Strategic Services with to the Batista regime in Cuba during the Second World War.
Those are water boys. You can put them anywhere, but they went to cream of the crop in the top in 1963. They might be now. You see what I'm saying? That global homeless thing you keep talking about, I say that's generated by the Central Intelligence Agency. They get away with all that stuff. what is it, the Antifa, Black Lives Matter? That's what I say is Central Intelligence Agency.
Well, certainly when we get into this whole business of the relationship between the CIA and the Mossad historically, and the OSS as a precursor of the Central Intelligence Agency, this starts getting into James Jesus Angleton, starts getting into a whole series of people that are all linked up to Israeli intelligence and to Meyer Lansky and, of course, David Ben-Gurion and the core issue of the Dimona nuclear power plant that Kennedy was trying to bring under international inspection. There's also the issue of what it was that President Kennedy intended to do in regard to the eventual abolition of the Federal Reserve Board and the return of monetary policy to where the Constitution of the United States places it, and that's in the hands of the United States Congress. And then last but not least, it is not lost on people like Guy Hanoe and Michael Collins Piper that JFK and RFK, as Attorney General, certainly under President Kennedy, were trying to bring the American Zionist Council, the forerunner of the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Once Kennedy was out of the way, President Kennedy, once RFK was no longer Attorney General, you start looking at all of the things that happened in the Lyndon Johnson administration. It creates a very strong, strong circumstantial case for Israel having been the major player in it, certainly in conjunction with anti-Kennedy forces, both in the CIA and presumably in military intelligence that were upset with him, especially over the Cuban issue. But that does link to Meyer Lansky. It does link to Jacob Rubenstein, also known as Jack Ruby. And all of this stuff starts coming together in a very ominous fashion when we start doing the kind of research and checking as many sources as we can check, primary as well as secondary, over years. That's certainly the way that it looks to me. Let's see. Andy in Texas, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am, sir, and thank you for taking my call. Hey, sure. You know what? I'm really kind of shocked at the American people, and you know, I'm nobody, but I'm really shocked because people are still putting their reliability into these politicians as if they're going to do anything that they've ever done before. They might do it a little bit different, and it's just changed a little bit, but the end result is the end result. Donald Trump, whatever. Joe Biden, whatever. This was all scripted. These people are just figureheads, and we're victims of this entire thing. When they went off the gold standard in 1971, when they finished going off of it, we used to know that Howard Hughes was the richest guy in the world, so we were told. And then here comes John Paul Getty, the first billionaire or whatever. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then all of a sudden, we have an explosion. There's thousands of billionaires now, and that's because it's fiat money. And these people, all they have to do is what the masters, the people who own our monetary system. Give me control of any country's monetary system, and I care not who makes the laws. Well, we're there, people. And so if you think these politicians have anything to do with your future whatsoever at all, you're right, they do, but it's not in a good way. They're going to sell it to you as if I'm the greatest guy in the world, and then they're going to bite you in the ass.
In the A double slash, I absolutely agree with this, sir. And I think this... Go ahead.
Well, no, I think the world is literally gone crazy. You know, I heard another talk show host talking about the movie Idiocracy. And anybody who's seen it, you should watch it again. Because we are in this particular moment. And it's just where nobody knows anything. The smartest guy on the planet is he can put a circle in a circle hole instead of a square, trying to push a square in a circle hole. I mean, we've gone beyond. There's much more to life than this. We've all been forced to live what we're living right now. And the problem is, well, let me go to the veterans because I am a veteran. We said we would defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and now we have a clear and concise foreign or domestic enemy right now, and nobody's doing anything. So what does an oath mean? What does an oath mean? I'm prepared, but what does an oath mean?
Absolutely, and you know, I happen to be at the post office in San Antonio today, one of the main ones, and there was an Air Force officer in there who was behind me in the line, and he was in uniform. I was able to learn a great deal about who he is just by looking at the patches on his uniform. Nice enough guy, and we got into discussion of a few things in general terms, and he expressed concerns. This guy was a drone operator, by the way, he told me, and he was expressing concerns about how dangerous the environment is around the world in the day and age of Vladimir Putin. Now, if that guy had been on my radio show, and if I had had the opportunity to present him with some things that maybe he hadn't thought of, it would have been a very uncomfortable time for him. And this is a nice guy. And I think that his worldview is not only wrong in terms of this whole situation of the Russian-Ukrainian war and who is largely right and who is largely wrong, but you have a situation where this particular Air Force officer, what does he think about the contemporary society in which we live? All of the things that have come out about conspiracies involving federal agencies and Twitter to steal people's personal data if they don't like their political views, to work with Ukrainian intelligence, and like in the Aaron Mate case we were just talking about in the news summary that clearly comes up, is just one of many examples of where the deep state in this country, which includes both our military intelligence agencies as well as the National Security Agency and the CIA, is working with American mainstream media outlets and American social media to demonize people and to spy on them for simply taking a different perspective. Well, you've been listening today to the Dan Koff Report, coming to you live on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this Friday, June 9th, 2023. Take a look at all the stories that I've posted there for you. There will be some additional ones that we'll post in the next 24 hours. But suffice it to say that the biggest concern I have on this Friday afternoon is that after Zelensky's counteroffensive fails, and after the Russians launch their own counteroffensive after Zelensky's is finished, that it will be a pivotal moment in terms of waiting to see whether NATO makes the critically important mistake of intervening in Ukraine and causing the beginning of World War III. See you next week. God bless.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.